exalt him, magnify him. It's the reason why we are here. Call him by his name. He's an indescribable God, unfathomable. The God that is infinite. The God that words, vocabularies cannot describe. Oh, they call him the immortal God. We call him the immutable God. We call him the eternal God. We call him the holy wise God. Exalt him. He's bigger than big. He's higher than highest, the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's a God that dimensions cannot contain. We bless you, Jehovah, the El Shaddai God, the God that can exceed our expectation. You will do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to your power that's at work within us. We magnify you this evening. Thank you for your holy presence in our midst. Thank you because you have called us together to do what's good. Thank you, Lord God, because we have heard, we have known that you are the everlasting God, the one who is never weary nor is tired. You give it power to the faint. To them that have no mind, you increase his strength. Even the youth shall faint and utterly fall, but they that wait upon you shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run, they will not be weary. They will walk, they will not faint. We wait upon you. We wait upon you. We wait upon you. We look unto you with earnest expectancy, with eager anticipation, Lord God, because of our hope and our trust is in you. From the throne of heaven, send your word with precision, with accuracy. Lord, let the floodlight come into our hearts. Let it give illumination, direction, strength, comfort, empowerment, and endowment for the next half of this year. Lord God, we thank you. We give you all the praise and glory for everything said and done here, because the church is built up and edified, and your name alone is glorified. In Jesus' name we are praying. Thank you. I want to celebrate the choir. Thank you for your song. Amen. The mistress. I want to thank God for my friend, the Reverend Seth Mann. Amen. You know, he's a good man. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I saw Pastor Bolaji. Good to see you. Amen. It's been long, close to 25 years plus. You understand? These are faithful men who are standing. Amen. The Bible says the faithful man abounds with blessing. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name. And of course, all the leaders here, thank you for coming. I know that God has a special word for you. No, because what I teach most of the time, God gave me, at the last end of the year, I became very restless, like a woman that was pregnant. You know, so I was saying, God, what's the problem? What's this? So really got some protracted moments and time praying. And what came out of it was what I call Endunamo. Endunamo is the force of a combined army. And what was it about? It's about what we are doing here today. Yes, sir. So I know that Reverend Setman didn't make a mistake sending us to come in here to teach God's word. It was about God not telling me about teaching what we call systematic theology. So I had to get books that are deep big. So begin to teach them. So you won't believe pastors bring their members for training. I mean, without telling anybody, somebody gave us a hall. Beautiful place. And in a month, I spent about $100,000 just for the diesel. You know, the diesel is expensive now. But it all was free. So pastors bring their leaders and all that. And I keep instructing them one Saturday in a month, from 9 o'clock down to 4 p.m. every month. So you can see my dilemma. As I'm here now, can I carry all those volumes? I put it 3 days. You know, so I had to depend on God. What do you have me to say? The very nitty-gritties of these things some of the things. So I was very happy with about 4 or 5 hours ago. God said, this is the direction I want you to go. I mean, I was excited, you know. And I know that it will bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, let's recall the purpose for we are gathering here. Number one is to remember and to recall and give God thanks. Number two is to reset and recalibrate. Number three is to recharge, is to refuel, to rejuvenate, and then experience renewal. And number four, to revisit and reinforce our foundation. Then number five is to receive the blessing God has for us and to obtain mercy and find grace to help for the next half of the year. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Okay, today we're talking about word foundation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 28. Matthew chapter 7. Now we read the account of Matthew and then the account of Luke. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The Bible says, now I told you whenever you see the word therefore, it tells you that there were some foregoings. You know, so it's on that premise that is telling you this, that this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the reason why all the things I've said, if you don't take notice of this and do it, it won't make any sense to you. So therefore, whosoever hears the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Next verse. Taking some of my time. I hope you had it. Okay. But everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the flood came and the wind blew, beat upon the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus ended this saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Luke 6, 46 to 49. Okay. So he taught them not as one having authority and not as a scribe. Okay, now go to Luke chapter 6. You know, it's the same account, but some little slight variation. And I think Luke has the hit point I want to make. 46 to 49. Luke 6 now. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus presented in a question. You know, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep. Take note of that. And laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Now, if you say the Mark text we read in Matthew chapter 7, you see that was Jesus' longest sermon. Jesus taught as a stretch, non-stop. So you see, if you have a printed Bible, you see it's all red page. You know, it spanned from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he was talking to his disciples. And there he laid down the principles and the modus operandi of the kingdom. That is, if this kingdom we are and you have come to, like you know, we are translated from the kingdom, from the dominion, from the authority of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. If this kingdom will make sense to you, if you will make headway in this kingdom, these are the principles that govern the operation of this kingdom. If you don't get these principles, you will not make it in this kingdom. So it took time to lay down all of that. And as he was ending in verse 24, he said, "Therefore, I say unto you," say, on this premise, for this reason, on this basis, you know, I mean, that this thing I'm about to say is of necessity, most important, if everything I've said is going to work for you. "Therefore, I say unto you, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth it, I will liken him to a man that built his house on the rock." Now, the beautiful thing there is that he was giving us, when he says whosoever, he was, as it were, telling us universal, time-tested, self-evident laws and rule that does not have respect for person, for gender, for ethnicity, and it works everywhere. You put it in the U.S., it will work. If we put it in Iceland, it will work. If we put you in Nigeria, it will work. I heard the other time that they took some laws and put it in South Africa, it worked. They took it, you know, to another country, it worked. Ghana, it worked. By the time they came to Nigeria, so he was saying, so whosoever, you know, it does not have respect for gender, for ethnicity, or for race. You know, now, the beautiful thing about that thing again was that he was talking about a parable. A parable is something you throw, you know, bully, you know, throw beside. That is to say, a short, simple story that teach a spiritual truth. So he wanted to teach a spiritual truth and was using a parable. And the parable he was using was about buildings. The buildings. And the building he was talking about, the essential thing particularly he was talking about in those buildings were the foundation. What makes the difference in the building? What makes the difference between the outcome of two lives, out life A and B? Why will one succeed and stand? Why will one build and it last time? I mean, there are some marriages that have been there for 60 years, 70 years. Why did it last? And why those ones did not last? Why did they crash? Why will a church, for instance, a church you started will last for 40 years, 100 years? Why some people, it did not see 2 weeks, it was dead. I mean, so what is it about? You know, so he was using a metaphor or, as it were, a parable about the building. And it says this, that in building, the foundation is the most important aspect of every building. When you want to construct, every time you want to construct, any construction site, any construction engineer will tell you, the foundation is the vital aspect of the building. You know, the foundation is the key to that entire building. Structural engineers will tell us that if anything goes wrong with the roof, with the side, with the window, nothing will be done. But if something goes wrong with the foundation, that building is coming down. Now, the beauty thing about foundation is that the moment you set the foundation, you have determined two things. You have determined how high it goes. Those days, I was schooling in Federal School of Arts and Science, Victoria Island. And in our class, you would just be yelling, bang, 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 bang. I mean, it lasted at times for 6-7 months. They are piling those things down. And all of a sudden, with time, you now see the thing coming up. All of those high rises that you see, those are the way they build them. You know, now, the deeper the foundation, the higher the height. You know, so when you determine the foundation, set limits for everything we build. You know, the next thing is the foundation will determine how long it lasts, the longevity. If your foundation is not strong and deep, it will not last. I don't want to do things that don't last. I don't want to that's why I take my time to do everything I do. So every builder, everybody who's rebuilding, pay close and utmost important attention to foundations. You know, now let's see one or two things Jesus said about Paul, the apostle, said about foundation, about the building technology again in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. He uses a metaphor, two metaphors there. He says, for we are laborers together with God, and we are God's husbandry. That's the first metaphor. The next one is that ye are God's buildings. You are God's building. Now, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. That word wise master builder talks about an architect. As an architect, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let everyone take heed. Every time you take, building upon the foundation, the foundation, it would tell you to be careful. Let everyone take heed how he buildeth upon. The next verse. For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ. So from foregoing, you have seen that Christ is the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. Christ Jesus is the foundation. It says, moreover, brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 10. Is that 10? Okay. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. The next verse. And were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. So Christ is the rock. So, the foundation, the rock is Christ. The rock is Christ. And I want to believe that every one of us is paying close and careful attention in our fellowship and our relationship with Christ. That is the foundation, the number one and the most important foundation. So he was telling us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, Lord? In the opening text, against the background, in Luke 6, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and does not do the things I say? He asks a question, because by calling him Lord, it means that he's the master, that you are going to be obedient. So it's become contradictory. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not know the things that I say that you don't obey? The Bible says they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he was talking to believers. In essence, if I have to interpret that scripture well, he's talking to believers. Those who call him Lord, those who are saved. Now, so he gives us a picture and tells us. Now, I want you to put up Luke chapter 16, because that's where my point is, where I want to bring out my point. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus is asking. It's expected that if you call him Lord, you should do the things he says. And he says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you. He wants to show us something now. You, whom he is like. What is it? He's like a man who should build an house and dig deep. Dig deep. And lay the foundation on the rock. We have first of all established that Jesus is the rock. Now, the people who hear the things he does and, do them are those who build on the rock. Now, particularly, this particular man, it says, the man dig deep. The man dig deep and lay the foundation on the rock. The rock is what it means, Petra, which is bedrock. Which is underneath is a large, immovable, mass, that you can rest anything on. That is what the rock is. Now, you want to define what foundations are. Foundations are the basis for your understanding. Foundations are the premise on which you do what you do. Foundations are what under guard and hold up everything. He hold up and hold together. So the foundation will hold it up and hold it together. It will give you strength and stability. But the first thing And this is where we are today. This is what I want to emphasize on. This is what the Lord wants me to emphasize on. He says, this man dug deep. This man that would lay his foundation on the rock, he dug deep. He went beyond the surface. You know, he went beyond just casually. He was not a casual builder. He went beyond the surface. He was not a shallow builder. Because as I was preparing, I said, God was saying, this is the sum of the problem. There are too many shallow Christians. Too many shallow Christians. You can't put anything on top of it. You know, the shallow Christian or the shallow foundation is not any better than the no foundation. You know, because when the storms come, it will crash. You know, and that's the issue. So he's emphasizing, you know, digging deep. Digging deep. It's emphasizing depths. 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 It's going to be depths for height. If you don't go deep, you cannot come high up there. If you don't go deep, if your foundation does not go deep, it cannot last the test of time. So he's talking about depths. He's talking about depths. So when he talks about depth, what is he talking about really? I mean, what is the Lord speaking to us today about depth? And I thank God that there are leaders in this place today. And I do believe that if you take it to this word, it's just a matter of time. It will be visible. When he talks about depth, he's talking about studying the word. Going beyond psychology. Going beyond humanities, going beyond science, going beyond the doctrines of man that is prevalent in this situation and everywhere. He says you go to dig deep. You go to dig deep. He's talking about the study of the word. Oh my God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says study to show yourself. So dig deep, which is the study. You know, now, when you read, you browse, you cover length, you know. But when you study, you go deep. 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 Now look at what it says. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now give me that study in Amplified Version or Amplified Classic. So let's break it down. But first and foremost, it says study to show yourself approved. When you read that scripture, the first thing it would say is that when you study, it will show. When you study, it will show. Study to show yourself approved. God, you will not get God's approval. God will not stamp his seal of approval if you don't study. God will not stamp his seal of approval if you don't study. God will not put his mark on you as his representative if you don't study. You will misrepresent God. Today in the body of Christ, you look at certain things. Every time they say they are pastors, I say they can't be pastors. They can't be pastors. These people misrepresent God. If you don't study, you will not be approved of God. If you don't study, you will not represent God. You will not stand for God. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. I have rejected you from being my representative, from being my priest. So knowledge becomes the most important thing in the life of the priest, in the life of those who will represent God. Now it says in Amplified Version, study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. So when you study, you present yourself. Say, do your utmost. Everything you need to do as a man of God, as a child of God, do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed. When you don't study, you see all manners of shame around. Look at that. Look at what it means. Correctly analyzing and accurately dividing. Correctly analyzing and accurately dividing. Rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. I like that. Say avoid all empty, vain and useless idle talks. For it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. You need to settle down to correctly analyze and rightly divide. They asked a man of God recently, he's been in ministry for 40 years, if you had to start ministry again, what is the advice you would give your young self? What is the best advice or what is it they did not emphasize? One of the things he said was that the interpretation of scriptures, enumerates, how scriptures were to be accurately interpreted. In Nigerian church today, we are so carried away with application. No matter how you apply what is wrong, it is still wrong. That's the problem. So carried away with the application. You understand? So carried away with needs and then solutions to problem, and then you are wrongly dividing. In fact, there are so many people who butcher the word. You butcher the word. They are going close about, I was teaching enumerates the other day, teaching it to my class, enumerates one, the act and the science of Bible interpretation. My goodness, you have close to about 20 laws and rules which you have to obey to interpret. So that's why it's a study, to be diligent, to diligent, to show yourself approved. So that you don't push out God's word. Recently I heard a story, and a man of God, after 40 years of ministry, he was talking. And what is this? See, I was sorry. What was this story about? That he taught them the wrong thing. Destroyed destiny, destroyed homes, because people will not, especially leadership and priests, will not study. Now, I always tell myself, if they don't give you in school, you would have gotten from family. If your family and school does not give you, you get from church. If church and school and family does not give you, you will get it from yourself. Yeah, that's the truth. You will get it from yourself. There are so many learning materials everywhere. If you go to the YouTube, you have more than enough. But how many people want to really sit down and learn? Many people would rather watch short videos that are making them, that is entertaining them and making them feel excited. It's so funny. These days, we want to come to church to be entertained, not to be edified or built up. People would rather be entertained than educated. And I told them, you don't need to come to our church. Find some other church where they can make you laugh. You get some clowns to make you happy. We are serious-minded people here. You understand? Because we are going somewhere with our lives. And our generation and our legacies are at stake to just do things anyhow. Somebody say glory to God. So study the word. And when we talk about that, we're talking about the systematic study of the word. When you look at the word systematic from the Greek, it's the Greek word sonistano. Sonistano talks about stand together or to organize. So we are talking about systematic theology, which is a highly organized topical approach to exploring scriptures. Highly organized topical approach to exploring scriptures. Systematic theology focuses on collection and summarizing of all Bible passages on the subject. Collecting from, you pick up, for instance, you say the theology of God. You pick up God from the book of Genesis down to the book of Revelation, everything that's talking about God. So it's a collecting and a summarizing of Bible passages on the subjects that attempt, to talk about a particular subject. So it talks about a careful, organized way and paying attention, great attention to detail. Now, what is the end product of systematic theology? And this is where we are coming. And I came to offer to you, this is the solution to the Nigerian church. or so rather the African church. And if we don't pay attention to these things in a short while, you know, already it's already happening. You come to church, you cannot differentiate it from the club. You come to church, you see a Christian, and there is really no difference. We are all the same thing. We have the same experiences. We do the same thing. You know, probably somebody stole 100 million. Now, you probably your own is just 20,000. Just that your own is small. No, I was small now. You know, see. Say, God understand that. God understand. Or have you ever seen some people who will do Yahoo? And they wake up and say, you know what? There's this church that they have prosperity anointing. Everybody there prosper. So you know what? When you do your Yahoo, go and sow seed in that place. Or have you ever seen, haven't you heard of our prostitution? People do prostitution and pay tithe. So that the work will be profiting. Now these are the things that have become, and it's becoming almost legitimate. No, over time, when people do things over time, you become desensitized to it. Like you see the number of ritual killings, when they say, ah, this one has been killed by a boyfriend again, it doesn't really mean much again. We are used to it now. But these are abominations. These things that your system and your conscience will cry out, no, this is not it. God, this thing must not be in the land. And the fortunate thing is that every passing day, people are falling victim. I mean, I wonder at times, most of the time, we've been doing 1 in 9 vigils. So I stay within GRA. So it's a upbeat area. And you come in around that kind 10, 11, and you see the crowd. See, what are they going for? And at times, even by 1, 2 o'clock, there's a skimpy stop standing on the street. We have all the dead. They kill people and all that. You know? And I had a Christian girl, beautiful girl, who came to do NYC that worked with me and was telling me the crazy things Christian sisters do today. Young girls, coppers, 24, 25, they've won everything. It's as bad as, for instance, now they wake up and they go to strip clubs, born again tongues talking girls, and they do the alcohol, they do the crack and everything. And then on Sunday morning, and of course, they wear their boo-boos, they wear all this their skimpy stuff. And then on Sunday morning, they now wear the coverall and come like a priest. You know what I'm talking about. That the Christianity that we have come to see today. You understand? I mean, and it should bother every one of us. So if we want to see change, you know, if we want to see the dividing and the demarcating, distinguishing mark, we want to pay attention to what I want to present to you in the next few minutes before we close. The end product of the systematic study I talk to you is what we call doctrine. Somebody say doctrine. Somebody say doctrine. A doctrine is what the whole Bible teaches us today about a particular topic. What the entire Bible teaches us about, for instance, you know, the Holy Ghost, pneumatology. What does the Bible, the entire Bible, teaches us about pneumatology? What the Bible, the entire Bible, finishes about Jesus and his ministry of Christology? What the entire Bible teaches us about, for instance, man and the fall of man, anthropology? What did the entire Bible teach us about the end time and its event, eschatology? So you would take all of them from the beginning of Bible to the end, one at a time. What is the meaning of doctrine? Doctrine means something taught. It means teaching, instruction. The primary principle that are taught, the primary principles of religion that are taught. That so any religion can do that. And most of the people, the reason why they have survived to today, even those false religions, was because they indoctrinated their people. By now, some of these things they do from some of the, of course, they are changing bit by bit, but I don't mean any harm, you understand? That's why, for instance, the Catholic Church has survived with all those doctrines, because they indoctrinate the people. That's why the Muslims, you see them today, from a small age, at the age of 1, 2, they've thrown it into afar. My goodness. If you've been there before, my friend always tell me, the one that comes from north. Oh, but you will chant that Quran. You go chant that thing. If you don't chant that thing, it can't flog. Even if you are dyslexic. The guy flog, eh? Nobody will tell you, you go accommodate, your brain go open. So you shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it, you know? And that's exactly what the Jews do. What they do. I mean, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. You can't be a rabbi. You cannot be a rabbi or part of the Sanhedrin court. You know, if you can't chant that in word for word, the entire volumes of the five first books of the Bible. Now play. Now put that side by side with our Pentecostal church. Now see the jokes. The play. You know, you just the temple, you say, how many scriptures can you go to? David King Jesus. David King Jesus. My good friends, my dear friends, everybody got to wake up. You understand? Everybody got to wake up. You know why I'm saying that? With the internet, with the globalization, you know, with what is happening, if we don't wake up, you will be shocked what happened. The other day, I was just doing your Dube, Dr. Doing your Dube, the former assistant to the president. And one of his sons came out and all that, said, nah, he's a gay. The guy said, was so embarrassed, saying, which guy trouble is this? Say, we are Christians. I say, no, from 13 years, 13, I'm part of the LGBTQ. Very embarrassing to a man of that high stature. Hey, that's what happened. Now, it could happen to anybody if you don't pay attention. Then someone just come and say, I just come and say, I want to marry. And then you look back and say, man, you want to marry a man? And since you are a pastor, please, can you help us officiate? Somebody say, God forbid. So doctrine is to teach substance. At times you go to our churches, no substance. No substance. No empty words, vain words. You know, take scripture and then butcher it and go out of context and be gyrating. And then the dance is even more than the word. And then the whoop is more than the word. Whoop. Hey, Sakata Bada Satya. I thank God, God is raising some serious minded people. Some serious minded people are coming. You know, all these jokes everywhere. Handling the word of God as if it's a joke. You know? So when we talk about doctrine, we're talking about teaching the substance, to see the substance of the word. Doctrine refers to the truth of God's word that is taught. The truth of God's word that is taught. What's the beauty of doctrine? Number one, and you see, every Christian has to really get to know that. Teaching doctrine, you know, about who God is, who we are, and why we exist. I'll still come back to all of that. So doctrine, number one, importance of it is that doctrine summarizes God's word, the truth of God's word. It synthesizes, condenses it, you know, to teach it in a brief, understandable format on which you can base your belief. For instance, if you take every teaching on the Holy Ghost from the beginning of Scripture to the end, I mean, then you synthesize it, you summarize it, and make it to a simple, understandable format that somebody can believe. That's what about it. So, from your belief, you know, because everything is about belief, what you believe eventually is what you become. You will not be better than your belief system. So, everything is rooted in your belief systems, which are your core value system. What do you believe? Many people don't even know what they believe again. You know, do you know that some people say, no, I'm not a man, no, I'm a woman. Do you see the confusion and the madness? Yeah, because they have listened to doctrines of devils And devil is talking to them, whispering to them, and now they don't have control. They open up their mind, and with that kind of oppression, they come to believe that, you know, that all these things is genetic misconfiguration. I want to change to become mess. So your belief at the end of the day will be what your convictions will come out from. It's from your convictions, you know, that you have your actions. You know, this is how it works. The things you believe, you know, in your being are the things you will do. And the things you will eventually become. The things you believe will be in the very fabric of your constitution and your nature, you know, are the things that will eventually become your character. And then they will become your destiny. What do we believe? What do you believe? Your belief system is working right on your inside. You know, you cannot rise above your belief. If you believe that God is not, the other day somebody came and we're talking, and what was it? We gave testimony in Rema that a 50-something years old woman gave birth and all that. And you know, he's a medical doctor, and he's a very high profile somebody that's in the class. I know what the guy said. He said, go and find out well, we'll go and find out well. All these people that are talking like this, you don't know whether it's IVF it did and all that. The Bible says that God will deliver us from evil out of unbelief in departing from the living God. In departing from the living God. Listen, I told him, listen, as I am now, if an 80 years old woman give birth, I will believe it. After all, we have examples from scriptures. I mean, Abraham hoped against hope that he might become the father of many nations. You know, I mean, even when there was the deadness of Sarah's womb, Hebrews chapter number 4, verse, I think, 13. Let me read that scripture for you because it's important what you believe. Now, you have precedence in scripture. This is already showing us something in scripture. I mean, Hebrews, Romans 4, 13. I want you to see something there. Okay, good. 4:17, please. 4:17. Look at that. Put it at 17 there. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. The next verse. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. There was no hope. There was no hope. Against hope, he believed in hope. That was a fight of faith that he might become. You see, what you believe is what you become. What you believe is what you become. That he might become the father of many nations, you know, so shall your seed be. The next verse. Be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. So Abraham's body was dead. Abraham's engine has knocked. That was bad enough. Look at this. And when he was about 100 years old, he was 100 years old, forget it. You know, forget about anything. If that is bad enough, I mean, you know, look at it. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah's womb cannot carry a baby. The fibrous tissues, everything was gone. If they put a baby, it would tear. So Abraham had a problem, Sarah had a problem. It's double trouble. But look at it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. See that? But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The things you believe are the things you will become. Number two, doctrines will guarantee health of the church. Titus chapter 1 verse 9. If you want a healthy church, you got to emphasize doctrine. Titus chapter 1 verse 9. Doctrine guarantees the head of the church. Holding fast the faithful words as thou art taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince gainsayers. by sound. That was sound doctrine, talk about a healthy doctrine. That's the way you will convince by sound. You know, sound doctrine will convince gain and naysayers. There are many, many of them in the internet, especially in the Twitter. They have a lot of crazy people there. Doctrine will result in transformation. 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 I can't read the scripture because of time. Titus chapter 2 from 2 to 10. You know, your doctrine will determine how you live your life. You know, and then the transformation will produce radical organic transformation. The transformation that God brings comes from inside out. I've always told people in my church, if you are looking for a change on the outside, you will wait forever. The transformation God gives to us is a transformation from, that's what we call it, metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. Bible says, as we behold him and in the glass, we are metamorphosed. We are changed on the inside, even by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a change from inside out. Somebody shout glory. So it starts with taking what God has said and then putting it on your inside. And then there is a change. You see it from the egg to the larva, to the pupa, and then to the caterpillar. The ugly caterpillar you see will metamorphosize and become a beautiful butterfly. Somebody shout glory. So you want your character change? You want the change of your attitude? I don't understand how somebody will wake up and say, you saw me like that before you marry me. You have to take me like that. No, we will not take you like that. We love you too much to leave you the way you are. We love you too much. We can't leave you. Honey, we can't leave you. You will change. You will change. We can't leave you the way you are. You go change. Tell somebody you go change. Oh my God. Hey, oh my God. Doctrine helps you to overcome faulty inclination. 2 Corinthians 3, 5 to 10. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty built through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The biggest battle you ever fight in your life, you know, on your pathway to becoming all that God has predestined for you, a mental stronghold. If you don't deal with mental stronghold, you cannot get into prosperity. You cannot attract wealth. I tell them in my church again, listen, you will be it before you become it. So mental strongholds are logical, rational reasonings that tell you it's not possible. You read the Bible and say, this is possible. This is my reality. This is why some of the thing you say, nah, lie. It's not going to be. So what the Bible says, you pull down strongholds. And every item that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and every thought, and bring them to the captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when you teach doctrines, and you take it in a systematic way, and the people keep listening to it, strong goals are uprooted. Listen, my good friends, most of the time you talk about spiritual warfare. And whenever you talk about spiritual warfare, in most over 50 to 70% of the church, spiritual warfare is fighting devils and trying to overthrow strong man over there. I tell you something. The stronghold is stronger and more dangerous than the strong man. There are traditions in the hearts of people. There are reasoning patterns that have come from exposure, from education, from training, from observation, from teachings that have cascaded and formed a castle and imprisoned the people so they cannot break forth and break out into their limits. Nothing can come in, nothing can go out. That is the stronghold, and that is the biggest problem and the greatest fight you will ever have. And the solution to that stronghold is God's word. Paying attention to the systematic word of God will uproot every stronghold in your life in the name of Jesus. Doctrines will help you to grow to maturity. If there's any problem today in the church, put up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. One of the problems we have in the church, one of the biggest problems we have in the church is that people are not growing anymore. People are not growing spiritually. I mean, and I tell people, listen, this is a spiritual house. I mean, if we do not want to grow spiritually, don't come to this place. We want to force you to grow by all means. Now look at this carefully. Bible says, and he gave some, when he led captivity captive, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That is the fivefold fivefold ministry gift. What is the purpose of the fivefold ministry gift? For the perfecting or equipping to maturity, you know, of the saints. Now, that comma is not supposed to be there, you know, in the original text. It reads this way: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. So what it means by that is that the fivefold ministry gift come to train, to teach, to inspire and equip the saints so that the saints will do the work of ministry. You cannot come and say the pastor, you know, will teach, he will preach, he will do everything and see, go and no. The church is supposed to be equipped to do the work of ministry. Now, we don't see much of that because much of the church is not being equipped with God's word. So, the purpose is that God has set in place is that the saints will be equipped by the fivefold ministry so that they will do the work of ministry. And when they do that, there is going to be a total edification of the body of Christ. The next verse. Till we all come. Now, they will continue this till we all come unto the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect. That word perfect is a mature man. And unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, of Christ. So the maturity level is in different grades. Jesus Christ is our benchmark. As you continue, you begin to grow unto that mark. So maturity, you know, in the equipping of the saint there. Now go to the next verse. Okay, now, that henceforth we be no more children. Look at that. We be no more children. And there are so many children. Oh, there are so many children. You know, they are in the pulpit. I don't know. A child will give birth to a child now. And the mark of children is that you will see irresponsibility. They don't respond to anything. You know? Very irresponsible set of people. You can't hand over anything to them to say, okay, I put this in your church. Do it. No way. In fact, you know, our churches, you call them for evangelists, they're not ready. You call them for prayer, they're not ready. You call them to come and give, they're not ready. You know, just wake up and say, we have Shuya night now and praise party. You say. Those people will give you excuses. Don't say Shuya night. And then if you make mistake, invite anybody. Moses, please experience. You won't have parking space. You would not have parking space. That's the kind of jokes. And those are signs of babyhood stages. Toss to and fro. Look at that. And carry about with every wind. Every wind, they vacillate. So, irresponsibility and instability. No foundation, no anchor, no root. Everything carries them. They wake up and say, Tibi Joshua in the town now. You know, you're exonerated. You know, I appear. I was passing through, I went to Akure 2 weeks ago, you know, to do some things, and I was passing Delta State by road, and I just saw the TMG with the face of TB Joshua. You understand? A big church there. I'm shocked how many of our Pentecostal people go to those kind of places. It's a big shame. When we teach and train, I don't know when we put up a poster last. Miracle service, crusade, come for this, than me, I will attend. That what happened? To do what now? What are you going to give to me? No, tell me. What are you going to give to me? What are you going to give to me? Oh boy, wake up. I've never even seen when there are issues that came up and say, oh, please come. No. We are taught and trained. You stay there. You stand there until you break through. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask for help, but that's my own now. You know, when you read James chapter 1, it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, for the trying of your faith worketh patience. Allow patience. Allow patience. Let me be patient, have a perfect work that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect, complete, mature, and entire. Complete man. Today we have problems in our families and homes. What's the problem? Many of the men don't have capacity to carry the girls they are carrying. And the girls are beginning to grow and it's becoming a problem in the house. It's become like a power tussle. We are 9 VG, the girls are there. We are training, they are there. You have made it. And then the guys just lounge around. I say, oh God, what's happening now? And they say, it's not submit. Submit to what now? Look at what submit. It's coming under a mission. You don't even get mission. You don't even know get direction. I want to provoke you to sit up. Now, because of time, let me just give one testimony and go. Now, I became a pastor at the heat of COVID-19. Somebody was moving, and pastor, God told him to hand over the church to this man. Obviously, the pastor that was there before had got himself into a lot of problems. What was it? He came into church, and then you now have to begin to use your resources to support the people and support their church. You know, you give them school fees, give them house rent, pay their mother, and all that. And this was shocking. Although he was a tech guy. But you know, you are not El Shaddai. Every attempt to be El Shaddai is saying, I shall die. You understand? You are not El Shaddai. That's not what God told you. He said, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed them with knowledge and understanding. After they have increased and multiplied, they will not say, where is the ark of the covenant? Because the presence of God, if you have a pastor that teaches you with knowledge and understanding, the presence of God comes to sit down in the midst of the people, and out of it come shouts of testimonies, shouts of victory, shouts of triumph, shouts of joy, and with joy saying, that will be your portion in the name of Jesus. So this guy, he was shocked. He had to go. So he didn't even have a choice, because if he continued, he would die. So he handed over the church to me in the heart of JRA. You know, if you look me well, no, I'm not a call with him. You know, yeah. So we started work and all that. And every morning, because he lives in my neighborhood around. So in the morning, I'm riding to church to go and pray. Because every morning I have a prayer meeting from 7 o'clock to 9. So when do I go to work? By 9 o'clock. You understand? I go to work by 9. When I got from Lagos to Port Harcourt is not like Lagos. By 4 a.m. I go to Port Harcourt. I said, what's happening here? 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, we're strolling in. I said, okay, let me fix prayer meeting. So we started praying. So if we going for exercise, I'm walking with his wife and all that. In his mind, say, okay, this thing, Kasham, they will see what he will do. But there's something about Makuse, Balande, Bagaduse, Zazazazuse, Makute, head, just praying talks. God is organizing and fixing somebody's life. You understand? And we continue like this and all that. In the midst of it, so many things happen. That if not that God had prepared you and grants you, it was supposed to completely dent who you are and destroy the very fabric of your belief systems you have. When things came up, and then, for instance, you know, choir people, not this one, mistress, these are nice people. Choir people everywhere, apart from here, you know. It's like Satan is still dragging that ministry with them. So I got there, and I know when you have a new pastor, they are already landlords. They already know, you understand? So I said, boys, these things you guys are doing, I know we don't follow. You know, when Eli's sons were misbehaving, God told them, you did not restrain them. He was saying, these things you are doing, it's not good now. The people were taking the fattest meat from God. They were stealing the offering. No, it's not good now. They were sleeping with the woman at the temple gate. You know, it's not good now. You people, it's not good now. God said, you honor your sons above me because you did not restrain them. So I told them, listen, some of this stuff, those parties won't work here. Imagine now some of them pick up the choir and then form another subgroup so that with the best hands, when there is wedding or celebration, they now on Saturday or Tuesday Saturday go to play so that there is no choir practice. Hey! You know, because of the way God trained me, I have an apostolic anointing. It can be dangerous. So it's not, I don't like it coming out. You know, let us be just nice friends. So I plead to them. So they come attached because we use a tent to ours, a beautiful tent. So now inside of our church tent, you know, ours, I'll be playing, if you see mommy water, never you go. You know this choir that everything goes. The worldly songs, everything, you know, as you like it. You know what I mean? Just anywhere, if it's R&B, I mean, Marvin Gaye, they sing everything. At least, if I'm not there, you have enough respect for God, enough respect for your pastor to sing it. Well, I know, contest you. I'm not the general overseer who go to straighten people out. My own is to preach God's word. So they continue like that. So one day did a prayer chain. I said, okay, let's come together to pray. And we prayed. Every department divided into 1-1-2 hours like that. When it got to choir turn, the chain broke. I said, Shabakuta. This is the confirmation. So my second guy said, ah, Pastor, have mercy, forgive. I said, I've forgiven. But when you forgive, it doesn't say you should not do something. Don't worry. I handed over the meeting to him to continue. So we all came to church the next Sunday. They didn't expect it coming. I got to the altar and said, you know what? From today, their name is Mistress of Joy. I hope it's not your own, you know, Mistress of Joy. I said, from today, this choir is disbanded in the church. His name will not come back to the church again. Even the name is disbanded. It's dysfunctional. Like NPP or all those nonsense parties. They are all disbanded and all that. And I anointed 6-7 people as a fresh choir. That's when war broke out. And I said, and I give you guys, you know, a condition. The condition is that you will go to our training schools. You know, you will go to, I started a ministry called Life Academy, Transformation Academy. You will go there, and then you will go to Sunday school. You know, and then when you graduate from there after 3 months, you can then come and join the choir. But if it's that name, no, they come back here. I probably did not envisage what I was expecting. Of course, these guys, they were recalcitrant. They were not talking to themselves. You know, when you had on a gang, you understand, a cabal inside your church. I know me. I like those kind of things. You know, the anointing upon my head worked best when war break out. So you just pray that no war should not break out. So they started, and then they now started doing all manners of things. These are your choir people who are ministering to you and your people. And before then, the elders have always been complaining. The pastor will preach this way, the choir will minister this way. Do you know what I mean? I even set up another choir, the King's Mystery, and they frustrated that word. I said, okay. So you can see the matter. So it continues like that. I said, okay. The guys now began to form cliques and started fighting me from outside. So they would tell this person, okay, this person is one manning the instrument, come up from that church. So families, friends, everybody started moving. You understand that kind of thing. To cut the long story short, we lost over 30 of our solid people. Fights everywhere and all that. But the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They are mighty view through God. In my ninth vision, in the name of the Lord Jesus, whatever God has not scattered God. Whatever God has not planted, uprooted. Now, one of their major leaders woke up and told me, you know what? He was telling somebody I heard. So to tell you the heart state of this kind of people, he told them that if the pastor or the church will call us back, you know, if they will need my service, we will have to negotiate. No, you give God terms and conditions. I called him, I said, come, you say you will give God you. You will give God conditions. It's not me you will give God conditions. You will give you. You that's a rat when you came here, and now you have used your instrument to build yourself. You will give God condition. We'll wait for that day. Of course, I did not shake. The thing continued. But the funny thing was that all their crafty imaginations were collapsing. How was it? Instead of a church going down, the church was going. The church was increasing. You know, so the extent that they now discovered that all their devices and their manipulations fell away. Now, why am I telling you this? When you take time to build on solid, that's good, that's it. When you build on doctrines of the word, you will come to a place where you become strong and solid in your convictions. And that's what God told me when I started those classes. Tell everybody, when you come to these classes, it will make you solid. There are so many whims and weaklies. People who don't know their right from their left. People who cannot have discernment and judgment. People who do not know the pathway to follow. So they are confused. Imagine as a leader, you are confused. You don't know what you are doing. So we need solid Christians. And I'm going to close with this. Solid Christians in every sphere of human endeavor. At times you come to our state, you know what the politicians are doing there. Those guys are literally taking over the space. What do I mean by that? You know the occultic powers they use. They will use occultic power. How will one man dominate, you know, the political space, dominate the finance, and then dominate, you know, I mean, so everybody's trying to struggle and all that. And I tell them, say, listen, this, Christians, we have not done well in raising Christians. What do I mean by that? In political arenas, if you want to go in there, you must, just like the pastor, sit in his place, study the Bible, learn the Bible, does his own prayer, not prayer contractors. Know God for himself the same way you will. So when they do some spell and divination, it won't catch you. Not just that. When you see woman, you will not fall as a assault. You understand? When you see money, you will not disgrace us. We have not done that. So we are saying, take over. Who will go and take over there now? The moment they get there, they put them in their side. And this is the last thing. Why we need this thing? Because we are in a society where we call relativism. What is relativism? There are no absolute anymore. Everything goes. You understand? So somebody will come and say, there is no God. You understand? This God is not this. The Bible is not true. Because there are no absolute anymore, and we know with God they are absolute. We know, we that are believers, that God is absolute, unmovable and unshakable. You know, his word is absolute. His truth is absolute. You understand? I mean, so how do you address this situation in the world we live today? Now, I submit to you. This is the reason why we need to first and foremost in building a foundation, settle down and go deep. What do you believe? Because all your actions, because I know the normal, you know, normal Nigerian pastor is talking about practical application. What is it you are going to apply that you don't even know? You don't even know what you're applying. Or what you're applying is not right. So it is out of digging deep that we know exactly what the scripture says, build our beliefs and our convictions on it, and from there we will act. That is where you see the transformation of this country and this continent coming out from. You go to Ghana, you see useless people prophesying nonsense. You know, the part of your color is this. And you mean that is God? And you do, he used familiar spirit. So we want the real church to arise. And it's going to start from here. So I'm very grateful to God. Tomorrow when we come, we will begin to get into the doctrine. Now, this whole meeting is about the doctrine of the word, the doctrine of scriptures. I have about 7 things. Is this word believable? Who is the author of this word? Is it authentic? You know, is it sufficient? What is the canonicity of this word? What are the books? Why do they make it in? You know, in about 1 hour, I will give you in an encapsulated form, you understand, the doctrine of scriptures, you know, the doctrine of the word of God, why you must believe this word, I mean, and build your life upon it. You know, from all premise, why this word is number one in the entire world. Bow down your head. I want you to talk to God. I want you to make the commitment. We have come together to discuss serious issues that pertain to us and our future and our destiny and our nation. This is the issue at hand. Oh, tell God to give you grace that as you live here, you are not going to be like the man who will build upon the sand. If you don't dig deep, you will end up like the man building upon the sand. When you dig deep, you have resources and the materials to lay the foundation, to lay it on the rock. The foundation of the rock that is unshakable, unmovable, that will stand the test of time. Jehovah, we give you thanks. Jehovah, we give you praise. We receive help. Thank you, Lord. Even as we have come, we receive grace. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. To be doers of this word, not here alone. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Because our life will glorify you. Our life, our nation will raise up new set of Christians. Lord God, that will bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for all you have done today. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody